This message, entitled Nazareth Revisited, The Gate of Emmanuel, was delivered to Christ Rock Bible Church on December 17, 2017 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Matthew 1:18-25.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'd like you to turn, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. I know we've been in Luke for so long, it seems kind of odd to jump somewhere else, but this is where this part of the story is told, and the only place where it was told. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Dear Lord, as our hearts are gathered with one focus, namely our Jesus, I pray, dear God, that you'll open up our understanding to the fullness of what you would have to speak here. I do see some real differences, dear God, in this gathering or in this time when Joseph is made aware of what the situation really is with Mary and with the baby, and loves him. Lord, your spirit shows this, dear God. You love him. You love Joseph like you love Mary, like you love Zacharias, like you loved Elizabeth. But Lord, there's something more here. There's something different here. This man would be expected to lead the way. And if he's going to do that your way, Lord, he's got to led by your Holy Spirit. He's got to be led by your word, by your truth. And so you came to him, praise God, and you give yourself, Lord, to him. And we want to thank you for that, dear God, because in that, he knew exactly which way to go. He knew that his plans were not your plans. He wasn't trying to be doing anything bad. He wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He thought this was the only way he had open to him. And yet you went ahead and showed him, no, it's not. Because it's your plans that really count. Praise God. And I do pray, Lord, that you would open up our understanding, dear God, even this day, to what you have, not only for him, but what you also have for us. Because we are also, as Christians, supposed to lead the way for others. And so I thank you and praise you, dear God. And we know that your spirit, Lord, is all-powerful. And you can make it very, very clear, dear God, that you are with us every step of the way. Praise God. And so in comes the name Emmanuel. So we thank you, we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. A fellow by the name of Jack Countryman wrote in a devotional recently, he said everything begins and ends with Jesus. Through him we have life. We need to consistently focus on Christ instead of our own circumstances, our own ideas, our own plans. Christ has done everything necessary for us to endure in our faith. There will be trials, but we are to count it all joy, it says in the book of James. Count it all joy. Step by step, he goes before us and leads us on. The best is always before us, and someday we will meet him face to face and reign with him in glory. He is our example and our model, for he focused on the joy that was set before him. His attention was not on the agonies of the cross, but on the crown. Not on the suffering, but on the reward. Amen? Now, that does not throw away or toss aside the agonies of the cross and the suffering that went on even before that and through that. But it shows where Jesus' focus really was. And if we're going to be like him, and we're going to be following in his footsteps, as he leads the way, amen, then we will also have that focus. It's not to ignore the sufferings. It's not to ignore the agonies of the cross. It's to recognize that the reward, the heavenly gathering of God's people that comes from that suffering, death, and resurrection, to recognize that that is even more important. And he couldn't have got to that point without the other. You understand that, right? You can't get to the resurrection without the death. So you know this is all part of the story. And we need to be very, very thankful for that. The fact is, everything does begin and end with Jesus. Now, if you don't see it yet, you're going to see it. I believe it's almost like deja vu all over again, as they say. Because again, there is an angelic visitation to the same little town of Nazareth. But there's something different here. There's something different here. Gabriel had made it to the temple to deal with Zechariah. Gabriel had made it to Nazareth to deal with Mary. But it's not Gabriel who comes and speaks with Joseph. I believe the Bible would say it was, if it was. You know how I know that? Because it did when it was Gabriel. And now all of a sudden, it doesn't do that. Amen? I want to go back to another story, and I do believe this will help to get us to see something, at least help. If you'll turn back to Joshua, okay? Joshua chapter 12. I think it might be easier to see it if we just take a quick look. We're not going to stay there, so keep your place in Matthew there. But go back to Joshua, right after the Pentateuch there. Joshua chapter 5. I don't know if I mentioned the chapter yet. It's chapter 5. And it's just before the fall of Jericho. Look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Someone once said, judgment no longer slumbers. It's not that it ever did, but many people have perceived it as slumbering, and that God is slumbering and not doing what he's supposed to do with the judgment against sin. But God knows what he's doing, and he knows he was going to go ahead and wait a little while for this to be manifested, for this to be shown. Okay? So it's not like God made some kind of major faux pas here, you know, mistake. Judgment no longer slumbers. It never did slumber. God had it in his hand all along. But people perceived it as falling asleep on the job. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? So he sees this personage right there in the woods, so to speak, before they get over to Jericho. And he's asking him, you know, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now Joshua is the one that's asking that question. Are you for us or for our adversaries? In other words, are you for the good guys or are you for the bad guys? Which side are you on? You know the typical question. You've seen it in all the old westerns and so forth, you know? But you could always tell. You know the guy with the black hat? He was a bad guy. Guy with the white hat? He was good. Okay? Lone Ranger always wore a white hat. Okay? Now, there's one show that by the way, was probably more than one, that didn't follow that theme. And that was a show called... the one I'm thinking of is... no, that was too obvious. But you are right. But you are right. Yeah, but no, what I was thinking about was Have Gun, Will Travel. You know, Paladin. He's dressed in black hat and so forth, but he was the good guy. So, you know, you always throw a ringer in there, you know, when you make any kind of solid statement. So, you know, generally could tell who the bad guy was and who the good guy was. But Joshua asked him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And the man standing there said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. He's captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? In other words, this man standing before Joshua was not just an ally, he was to be the leader. He was to show the way. He was the one who was going to show which step comes next. It was his war and his war alone. Amen? Could I take you another place? I want to come back to Joshua. So hold your place in Joshua. How many fingers you got? Right? Hold your place in Joshua. I just want to show you this while we're on the topic. And that's Hebrews, please. Turn way back to Hebrews. And wouldn't you know, it's way back in the New Testament, so it makes it difficult to hold the pages. But we know you can do it. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2, and it's verse 10. All right? Speaking of Jesus, verse 9 says, and we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Look at verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We're talking Jesus Christ here. Amen? Jesus Christ, captain of their salvation. Amen? All right, back to Joshua for just a minute. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. He knew this was the Messiah. He knew, and this is before Jesus was born. This is hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Okay? And Joshua fell on his face, and he says, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" See, Lord. And the captain of the Lord's host, capital L, Lord, okay, host, said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place, get this, whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua did so. Does that remind you of anything? Right? The you know, take off your shoe, you're standing on holy ground, right? We're talking Moses. Amen? A direct command from Moses. Take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. In other words, this is God. This is God that's showing up. And specifically, the Messiah. This is a pre-incarnate visitation of Jesus Christ, could I put it that way. By the way, this is something that's been seen by many commentators. It's in many commentaries, okay? Now it's not essential for salvation that you believe that this is the case. I think it's helpful that we see what's really going on in what I certainly believe is what's going on in the Word of God, that there are several places where the angel of the Lord shows up. Right? The angel of the Lord shows up, and that is who shows up in Joseph's dream. The angel of the Lord. Not an angel, the angel of the Lord. There are many, many instances of this through the scriptures. Back in Daniel's day, the king looks into the furnace and he says, "Wait a minute, did we not put three in there?" "Oh yeah, we put three in there. Then why do I see four? And one is the Son of God." Pre-incarnate Christ coming for a visitation to make a point. Amen? I mean, like I said, I don't think it's necessary. If you choose to not see that or not believe it, I don't think that's essential for salvation. But I do believe it's true, and I do believe it's there, and I'm just trying to help with it. Just trying to show that it's there. Amen? There are numerous places where this being shows up, and I believe this captain of the host is just that. Hebrews says it is. Hebrews says it is. The captain who through suffering was made perfect. That's a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay? So, like I said, don't feel you have to grab onto that. But I do believe that it is the case. And that's my conviction on it. And other people can see it differently. That's okay too. Okay? But don't lose track that these are very special visitations. At least you can say that. These are very special invitations. Praise God. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot," just like God said to Moses, "for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, this is God speaking to Joshua now, huh? Right? God speaking to Joshua, see, I have given thine into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty man of valor. And of course the story goes on, but enough said to make the point, I suppose, at this point. Okay, praise God. I want you to, did I just lose my place? Yes. Turn back to Joshua. Yeah, I did. There it is, Joshua. And praise the Lord. The mighty men of valor. Praise God. Obedience, mighty army, surrender. That's what this is all talking about. And it's being led by the very Messiah that everybody is looking forward to. Only way back in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, okay, there's Hebrews 2. I already shared that. I got so many places marked. Praise God. Let's go back to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 1. Praise God. I want you to look at the first couple of verses. Verses 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Was on this wise. Okay? When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now we already talked about that, so we don't need to go into that. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. I've said this before, you might as well be reminded of it. She was doomed. She was doomed, because now she's pregnant and he says it's not his. She's either been forcibly taken by somebody, or has been unfaithful, or Joseph's lying, or all these bad things, you see. But it's got to be one of those, or so it seems it's got to be one of those. And so, of course, I don't believe that, because Joseph makes clear that this is not me. He makes it clear, this is not my doing. Okay, he's a just man. Not willing to make her a public example, which would have meant stoning. She would have been killed because she had been somehow, some way, some form, unfaithful. Amen? And so he was minded, he had a plan. Joseph had a plan. He was minded to put her away privily. Right? Now I think it's obvious that Joseph had a plan. I think it was a well-meaning plan. I don't think he meant any kind of dastardly deed in it, or trying to be bad or anything like that. I believe he had good and honorable intentions with his plan. He was willing to let Mary go and not be with her forever throughout his life. She would probably move to a different town, get out of there, stay separate, you know, and just quietly, you know, be done with it all. Be quietly done with it all. It wasn't God's plan, though. And God was not willing for him to take the rap, so to speak, for God's plan. Amen? Because God had a plan. Do you remember the scripture says something about that? The plans I have for you, they're for good. They're not for evil. They're not for bad. They're for your betterment, not for your detriment. See, we have plans. But God has a plan too. And His, you might as well say it up front, is better than ours. Amen? Better than ours. Praise God. He is so merciful that He is not willing to leave us to our own plans, to our own devices, to our own understanding. This is how merciful our God is. This was so very important. So God sent His captain of the host. And as I said, I believe that's a pre-incarnate representation of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. However, in Old Testament times, it wouldn't have been Jesus. It would have been the Christ. Right? Because the Christ is the second person of the Trinity that fills the human Jesus when He is conceived. Amen? Okay, you see that? All right. Now, Gabriel's the one who showed up for the other visitations. Why not Gabriel? Wasn't Gabriel good enough? I mean, he didn't blow it. He did what he was supposed to do. No, it's not a judgment call on Gabriel. It's just that God wanted to start with the Christ. And why not? Because He's going to end with the Christ too, at the second coming. Amen? I mean, why not? So it's okay. Gabriel gave the message before, in other places, other times, other people, other persons, okay? But now, it's not Gabriel. And I know it's not Gabriel because it would mention that it was Gabriel. Gabriel's mentioned the other times. He's not mentioned here. In fact, it says, the angel of the Lord. And as I said, there are many references to the angel of the Lord. And I've already mentioned several, or a few of them anyway. But it's not a judgment call on Gabriel. I hope you hear me. You don't go out there and say that I said Gabriel was not up to it. Right? It's not that. It's just that God had a plan. And you got to know it's better than anything else you or I could come up with. Amen? All right. This thing has got to begin and it's got to end with the Christ. Lo and behold, he comes to Nazareth. Doesn't say how he comes in. Doesn't say, does he fly in? Does he stop? It's evidently Joseph's home, Joseph's house. Might have had an apartment added on to his carpenter shop or something. I don't know. But somehow this special visitor comes right in there to speak with him. Well, in a dream. Amen? The Bible's real clear about that too. So here's something interesting. If indeed this is the pre-incarnate visitation of the Christ, then he comes to Nazareth before the baby does. That's unusual. How does God accomplish that? I guess God can do about anything he wants to do. Amen? So, you know, here comes God, here comes the second person of the Trinity, right into Nazareth before he is even a baby. Okay? Now, get more specific. It's very possible that Mary, and I believe the conception of Mary was right there when the angel Gabriel told her, you know, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. That's when that actually happened. It's not necessarily that you think that. So I have a feeling that, you know, Jesus is already, Jesus Christ is already there in the womb. Now, how does God pull that off? I don't know. But I think he does. All right, look at verses 20 and following. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her, see, there you go, you got your answer right there, it's already conceived. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt, Joseph, you are going to tell everybody that his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And notice the capital, Jesus. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and here it comes from Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now you know as well as I do, by several people, you know, along the way, and even at the dedication, he had the name Jesus, the one who would save people from their sins. But now this is added. I'm not saying it's a middle name. I think it's a figurative name. I think it's another name that speaks to who he was. Call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And obviously, God in us. Amen? Same idea. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. And that was on purpose. He didn't get, you know, intimate with her until after the baby was born. So there could be no griping and complaining about, you know, where that baby came from. You know, that was not, Joseph covering his tracks or whatever. No, he knew her not on purpose. She had brought forth her first, till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Once again, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. The Bible's very, very clear about that. People have come up with other ideas, you know. Somebody came up with the idea that he should be, that he was called at his dedication now, at his dedication, that he was called Yakin Yeshua Alpheus. You think that's in the Bible? Uh-uh. So if it's not in the Bible, I don't want to mess with it. Amen? The Bible said at his dedication, he was called Jesus. I looked up what all those names mean, and they don't give much clear identification as to who Jesus is. But Jesus does, J-E-S-U-S, he's the one who saves us from our sin. Amen? And this name, Jesus, would prove that he was the legal heir to King David, heir to the throne. Amen? So if Joseph, now listen to me, should the kings come back? Evidently, Joseph was in line for it. There's another thing he gave up when he said, I'll raise that little boy up. Joseph's giving up quite a bit, do you understand? In his plan, he was not going to have his Mary, okay? He was not going to have, I mean, maybe he'd have kingship if the kings ever came back in, but the kings weren't in, okay? And anyway, he's, you know, God said, I know you're trying to do what you think is best, Joseph. I know that you have a plan here. You're going to divorce her privately, secretly, and then she won't have to die for this thing. And she shouldn't have to die for this thing because this thing was of God. And so he just made it clear to Joseph, you know, you don't have to go that way. You just go ahead. You don't fear. You just take Mary to be your wife. Amen? That's what God said. I mean, God said it. The second person of the Trinity, God said it. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. In through the gate they would both come. I told you before, probably wasn't an actual gate at Nazareth. It was just a very small hovel community, you know, some huts and houses and it wasn't even there in the Old Testament. Remember I told you that? That it's not mentioned in the Old Testament anyway. Might not have even been there. And then some monks come along and they build this place up, we're told from history. Anyway, in through the gate they both come. And that gate is Emmanuel. The gate of Emmanuel. Because you know what? There are gates that you have to go through if you're going to get to Christmas. You got to go through the gates. You can't. There's no other way in. You got to go through the gates. Amen? And Emmanuel means God is with us. And that's precisely what God was speaking to Joseph. Don't fear, Joseph. I will be with you through this whole thing. And he would be. Because once he's born, he's Joseph's responsibility. He's going to have to raise him up. Jesus would be with Joseph from here on out until, of course, Joseph is taken to be with the Lord. God is with us. And wasn't he? I mean, wasn't he there for Joseph? Wasn't Jesus there for Joseph? Just as much, if not more, than Joseph was there for Jesus. Do you hear me? Do you see what this is saying? Wasn't God with him? Yes, God was with him. Amen? And the Father would lead the way, the Holy Spirit would lead the way, and go through every step. Raise him up to truly be the Messiah. Right there with Joseph, then and forevermore. You know, there's a fellow that wrote a book by the name of Cure for the Common Life. And he wrote this. He said, Joseph tanked his reputation. You know what he means. Joseph tanked it. Meaning, he gave it up. He let it sink. He tanked it. Threw it in the deep water and let it go down. Amen? He tanked his reputation. He swapped his tzaddik diploma. Tzaddik in the Hebrew means righteousness. I was going to get out the hymnal, but I don't think I will right now. In the third or fourth verse, there was a picture and a description of the righteousness. The right living before God. Right there in that song. Right there in that psalm. Amen? He swapped his tzaddik or his righteousness diploma for a pregnant fiance and a supposedly illegitimate son and made the big decision of discipleship. He placed God's plan ahead of his own. Amen for that. Amen? Placed God's plan ahead of his own. Rather than make a name for himself, he made a home for Christ. And because he did, a great reward came his way. He called and was called to call this little boy's name, Jesus. Now, he goes on to say, cue up the millions who have spoken the name of Jesus through the centuries. Cue them up. Bring them up to the surface, you know, out of the deep water, so to speak, and line them up. And look at the person selected to stand in the front of the line, Joseph. Of all the saints, of all the sinners, of all the prodigals, of all the preachers who have spoken the name, Joseph, a blue-collar, small-town construction worker, said it first. I mean, angels have said it, you understand. But holding Jesus, quite possibly right in his own arms, out in the field, out in the stable, whatever you picture, he cradled that wrinkled-faced Prince of Heaven with an audience of angels and pigs and whispered, Jesus, you will be called Jesus. And that is exactly what he did at the dedication. His name was Jesus. Amen? Powerful thought. Amen? Cure for the Common Life is the name of the book. Max Lucado, the author. You want to see that from Scripture? Look at verse 23 and following. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay? Which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The same name that Jesus was given at his dedication has been given throughout the whole story. Jesus, the one who could save us from our sin. You see, that was God's plan. Joseph was just trying to make it easier on Mary. She wouldn't have to suffer. She wouldn't have to be stoned to death. You know, now he's going to have to give her up, you understand, in his plan. He's going to have to give her up. He's not going to get married to Mary. He might as well move to another town, you know, and not even have to deal with any of it after that. That was his plan. He didn't like it. but he couldn't think of anything else to do. Well, guess what? God made it clear, you come to me when you don't have any idea of what to do. Huh? Praise God. You see, that was God's plan. Far, far better than anything we could come up with. You know, things like good works, or religion, or working our own way to God. These things are not going to cut it. Why? Because they are your plan. They are other people's plans. But they're not God's plan. Amen? So if you're going to get to Christmas, you've got to travel through all the gates and you can't miss them. Amen? You need the gate of trust and obey. You need the gate of submission. And now you need the gate of God will always be with us. Amen? Praise God. And now, we've got to understand what that truly means. It means God is indeed, He is indeed with us. Amen? That's Emmanuel's gate. And it's a different kind of gate. It's a special kind of gate. It's not any kind of physical gate. Amen? But praise God, it's God's gate. And you're going to get to Christmas. I mean, really get to Christmas. You got to go through all the gates. Amen? Amen? Debbie, you told me before church, you said you've been reading about that. Every devotional you pick up says gate, 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 gate through these things. You look at it yourself, you'll see it. Gate. That's how we ended up in here. Amen? Got to go through the gates. We got Christmas Eve morning yet. We got Christmas Eve nighttime yet. Praise God. Couple more gates. And God will get the glory. Amen? Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this truth here today. We know, dear God, that your mercy and grace will bring us through, carry us through, so to speak, dear God, if we need to be carried. I pray, dear God, that you would truly touch our hearts, dear God, with this gate today. But don't let us forget the other gates. Don't let us forget the trusting and the obedience. Don't let us forget the submission. Don't let us forget that God promises to be with us. Praise the Lord. And don't let us forget the other gates we will soon encounter. So I pray, dear God, that you'll have your way in every way today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray.